Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to our church this morning, Lighthouse Bible Church. Let's begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have provided for us every day of our lives. When we needed to hear the gospel, you provided the right person to give it to us, to preach it. We thank you for the faith to believe. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy and your message. And we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ. Today, as we continue to study on the subject of spiritual gifts, help us to be attentive. Help us to realize that this speaks to every one of us. Help us to take it to heart, but also to rejoice in the great gift you have given us. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand now and sing our congregation song this morning. All right, a couple of announcements this morning. Pastor Adams of India extends his greetings to every one of us, and he thanks us all for our prayers. And he's thanking us again for all the help we've provided to the Healing Hands of Home in terms of the home itself, but also in terms of the people in that home. So we just want to pass that on. Also, Rich Freeman of Chosen People Ministries is going to be back. He'll visit us on Sunday, December 8th. I've asked him to think about us in terms of his training us in the area of Jewish evangelism. So because it's Christmas time, he will present the road to Bethlehem. Let's begin this morning. The subject of today's message, the title of it comes from the book of Romans, Gifts Which Differ. Gifts Which Differ. We are, of course, now on our study of spiritual gifts. We've seen that they're the Lord's secret weapon for preserving the unity of the body of Christ. That's what we've been in John 17, and we looked at the prayer of Jesus to his Father, and he said that they all may be one. And then we're taking that, and now we've gone into the epistles primarily to understand how that works and what's he looking for us and what he's given us in that whole area of unity, members one of the other, and so forth. So we're continuing now in a very specific element, a wonderful element of what he's also provided us in addition to the Holy Spirit indwelling in our hearts, in addition to the Holy Spirit establishing the unity. He gives us spiritual gifts, and those, again, are the secret weapon. He introduces that to each and every believer at the moment we believe in Christ, and they're supernatural in nature. We'll see this morning, and they're given ultimately for the common good, that we may have, that those gifts may cause the bonds between us to grow stronger, that the needs of one another are met by one another. They provide power. And that power is provided not to show off, but only to serve one another. You know, let's make sure you focus. This is a subject many faceted and variety, and that's we're going to talk about variety this morning. But never lose sight of the focus, the why, the purpose. And again, it's to serve one another, to have the build up the common good. And that's how we glorify God in all of this. So we'll see that. Last time we began our series on spiritual gifts, and I told you that there are four major passages in the New Testament, four, that teach the subject of spiritual gifts. This is good to know because, you know, whenever you want, you can go read these, okay, and you'll learn, you'll see something else. And if you do that, you'll probably anticipate where we're going, okay? And also, you know, it's good, once we've finished, you want to go back and say, okay, what am I taking with me? Where is that from? How could I teach others about this? Because this is another subject among many that is really misunderstood, all right, across the church generally, okay? You know, people want to focus on the most spectacular gifts, okay? And those were given. There's no question about it. But that even those were not given so that people can go, wow, look how great that is. Even those were given to build up and edify the body. So we'll go through all of that this morning. I just want to repeat once again to give you these. I'll give you a moment to write them all down. They're also on our website. If you look at the notes for the classes, okay, last week, this week, you'll find these. 2 weeks ago, I wasn't here last week. There are four of them. All right, they're in Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, and 1 Peter. In Romans, it's chapter 12. We'll be there this morning, verses 1 to 13. and 1 Corinthians 3 chapters, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. And in 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Master those. Really, spend some time on those. As you spend time on it, you'll see what we're talking about, what I'm talking about. You'll recognize the characteristics of the gifts. You recognize the individual. You'll see the individual gifts laid out. And perhaps you'll begin to consider how it is that the Holy Spirit has uniquely gifted you. Again, for what purpose?
Serving others,
common good. Very good. All right. That's all. Keep in mind all the time, because people go in all kinds of directions with this subject. There's all kinds of debates and arguments. And if you just focus on the end result, you'll be fine. Build up and edify one another to the glory of God. That's what this is all about. Now, we're going to spend time in each of these passages, as you can imagine, because this whole series ultimately is drawn from these four passages. Okay. So, this is where we ended up last time. We began looking at the characteristics of all the spiritual gifts. We're going to end up coming back to these and looking at the individual gifts, understanding the categories that the Holy Spirit has put these in. But right now, we're looking at all of them and say, what do they all have in common? What are the characteristics of spiritual gifts? And it's a wonderful subject. It's something that... Again, but we'll focus on the uniting piece here as well as the variety, okay? So, in doing that, I would now like you to turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 6 is where we'll start this morning. And now, actually, we're going to start in verse 4, okay? This is where we were last time, but I'd like to start in verse 4 today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we will start in verse 4 today. I'll give you a moment to get there. Looks like we're all there, mostly. I want to make sure you go to these places and know where they are and start to spend some time considering what they have to say. Because really, it's the Word of God itself that is alive and powerful. When we come together, I'm here to give you guidance and direction about how to approach these passages. But at the same time, the key is for you to understand that the power is actually in the Word of God. What He has to say about these things in His own words. Okay, remember, the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, word by word in the original languages. There is nothing that approaches the power of the Word of God in its own merits. Nothing. And nothing that I say apart from preaching is going to hold a candle to the passages themselves. Okay. Again, I'm here as a guide. It's kind of like, if you think about, hey, I want to go to the Andes Mountains. I don't know why that popped in my head. A lot of mountains. That one came up today. All right. And you say, I've never been there before. Right. It's all about the mountains. But at the same time, I would like to have a guide to show me, well, that's what that mountain is. This is the mountain we can climb. Let's go over that and climb it together. Let's see when we get up there what else we see. But it never stops being about the mountains themselves. It's the same thing here. I'm a guide, but it's all about the passage. It's all about the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. I want you to notice here that in each of these verses, there is the word varieties, right? There are varieties of what? Gifts. There are varieties, many, more than one, of ministries. There are varieties of effects, okay? And one member of the Trinity oversees each of those areas, gifts, ministries, effects. First of all, the spiritual gifts, never forget that they are miraculous. See, we come to here and we notice that all three members of the Trinity are involved. There's a miraculous things whenever that's going on. When the Holy Spirit, we first become a believer and the Holy Spirit indwells us, that's miraculous. By the way, it's a complete gift. God did that freely because he wanted to. And so it's a gift. We don't earn or deserve it, but it's miraculous. And it's miraculous. Okay. There are varieties of gifts, same Spirit. Varieties of ministries. We looked at what those were last time. I'll briefly go back to that as we continue. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things, who works all things in all persons. So again, these spiritual gifts are miraculous from start to finish. I want to get you excited about them. I don't want you to see them as burdensome. I want you to understand the excitement about them, the miraculous nature of them. You've been given that, okay? And so what I'm trying to do is open your eyes to that and allow you to just think, you know, consider it. Rejoice in that fact, first of all, remembering why, right, to help one another out. But wait a minute, it's miraculous power. It's no longer just me by my own devices trying to serve people. Too many people want to do it that way. You have to step back and relax and understand that you are a vessel in the hands of God to serve the people with a gift that is supernatural in nature. So again, we looked at how all three members are involved with this whole area of spiritual gifts. We saw that the Holy Spirit gives the gift directly. In other words, the Holy Spirit decides who gets what gift and actually miraculously provides that gift to us the moment we believe. It's got nothing to do with our natural talents. It's got nothing to do with our intellect. It's got nothing to do with anything about us. As a matter of fact, Paul later on in chapter 12 is going to talk about the fact that it's actually the opposite of what you might think. You know, he has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Right? He has chosen the foolish to shame the wise. So very often, that's exactly what he did. That was with spiritual gifts. Right? You'll see that he will give the most important gifts, okay, to people who are, first of all, not deserving like any of us are, but weak, okay? We'll see that. Poor, looked down upon by others, all right? And sometimes embarrassingly so. So God is not a respecter of persons in any way, shape, or form. It's the Spirit who gives us our gifts. By the very fact that it happens the moment we believe in Christ, it just underscores the point that it's miraculous in nature. It's nothing to do with us. Nothing to do with our genetic makeup or what family we came from. Nothing to do with us at all. Okay, and it's a miraculous thing. So the Spirit gives the gifts. Okay, in other words, he decides which gift goes to which believer. It was his decision. If you feel like you haven't gotten the gift you wanted, like, you know, a child on Christmas Day, and they said, I wanted a truck and I got a taxi, you know. But here's the thing. Who are you to know how you're going to be most effective in serving the body? You know, if you think it's all about you and figuring it out, you're going to miss it. No, the Holy Spirit has sovereignly decided the thing that you can be most, by his gift, be most effective at, needed in the body. As a matter of fact, Paul, we'll get to this passage later on in chapter 12. He talks about the human body. And he basically says there's no part of the human body that's unnecessary, that if it were to be removed, would not affect the functioning of the body as a whole. So wherever you're placed, it's an essential place that he's chosen for you, and never forget it. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Many ministries, one Lord, many ministries. And he governs that as the head of the body. In other words, he decides how you're going to use your spiritual gift. How? Which people he's brought you to. How that actually you use that. There are many different ways to use a particular gift. Okay, if you have the gift of giving, okay, by the way, he's given you a measure of that gift and he's done it. And it may be maybe you're supporting the church as a whole. Maybe you're supporting individuals in that church. Whatever. Right? Maybe you're supporting evangelism. Whatever those things are. And guess who decides that? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. It's not an accident. You don't really have to figure it out. He's already put that. As a matter of fact, God the Father ordained the ministry that you are to serve people in before he created us. Just think about that. You know, perhaps some of us get all concerned and nervous. I don't know how to use my gift. I'm not using my gift. Well, all right, so maybe you're trying too hard to do it yourself. And you'll be frustrated in that. You know, it's kind of like the Lord has given us this pathway to go on, okay? And we're supposed to be on a particular train, which is the miraculous nature of the gifts. But instead, we're wandering around in the fields on either side of the tracks, saying, I can get there myself. No, you can't. You'll be frustrated in that. The Lord Jesus Christ governs the ministries in which we use our gifts. That's the Son. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, and just as important, just as central as you can think about it, God the Father, all right, he determines the effects each ministry will have. What does that have to do? It's the results, the fruit, the output. You know, if you get the gift of giving, and you're faithful in that gift, okay, and you understand where the Lord has placed you and what your role is and how you should use your financial resources, and you're doing that, don't pick up your head and look around and say, yeah, but geez, I don't see the fruit. I don't see the effect. Okay, well, relax. Or, you know, maybe it's my fault. You know who wants you to think that? The other team, absolutely. Because you know what? Once you say it's my fault, I'm not using it, then where's all the attention? On yourself. That's the worst. There's one thing that I can say categorically is the spiritual life has nothing to do with you focusing on yourself. Okay? In fact, quite the opposite. To be freed up from the slavery of self in that regard. We studied that, right? The slavery of sin, the slavery of self, slavery of arrogance. Okay, those are all enslaving things. Limiting yourself by comparing yourself to others, when in fact God says, look, you have no idea. Okay? You think that you are you're the ugly duckling, and you're always trying to compare yourself, you know, people, other ugly ducklings, and say, am I bigger? Am I stronger? Well, guess what? You're not an ugly duckling. You're a swan. But as long as you're focused on you and your problems, you'll never realize who you are. God the Father determines the effects. Don't sit there worrying and wondering and putting yourself down because you haven't saved as many people as somebody else. That's really up to God. I'm so tired of pastors putting guilt trips on people. Because in their judgment, those people aren't doing as much as they should. Well, let me tell you something. Who decides that? Not the pastor, not other members of the congregation. God. It's God. He's given to each a measure of faith. That's variety. Some will have more than others. You know, there are some people whose gift is such that they will never see the fruit in their lifetime. Think about that. You may be supporting a ministry halfway around the world. You'll never go. You'll have a very, very limited view of what happens, what goes on. You know, you may be supporting people who are going into the villages, and it's a hostile territory. And it's actually the very act of that is what brings glory to God, right? Just like the act of your giving gives glory to God. Now, if you happen to be, it's kind of like some people are in a situation where the Lord has placed them in a place where there's even ground and the target is clear. Other people are in a jungle, okay? Well, God has ordained that perhaps in this life, the person on the easy path may see more immediate results. But the person who's in the jungle is going to actually, ultimately, do a greater work. But he or she may not see that. May not see that. You know, I mean, he's planted us and we're growing and he's feeding us. And we're all, in this analogy, we're all different plants. All right? And I don't know anything about botany, but let's just say there's a particular plant that grows really fast. All right? Boom, it's there, and a month later, it's like already doing its thing. Then let's say you have the oak seed. It's an oak seed, all right? And it goes into the ground, and then the first year, it looks around, and it says, boy, I'm not as big as the tulip even. I mustn't be much. But then year by year, the Lord is still preparing you. One of the things about you not seeing fruit that you may not understand is that the Lord is teaching you and training you in the area of patience. Yeah, patience. Because he's given you the ability to wait and not get discouraged and persevere and build character. And as a matter of fact, he's saying that's the primary thing here. He'll use this. He will use your maturity. He will use your dedication. But he's first of all trying to make you into. So to get back to the oak tree, it won't be till probably 20 years, 30 years. I don't know. Somebody knows more about trees than I do might be able to fill us in here. But the point is that once it does, right, once it is mature, wow. As a matter of fact, in the book of Isaiah, the Lord talks about oaks of righteousness, oaks. And how do you become an oak, right? By letting the Lord let you grow 1 year at a time, one more ring around the trunk. So that might be you. I don't know where he's put you. He may, you know, he's put some people in areas like people. He said, "I want you to go to China, right?" In the 1800s, okay, and that was an incredible battle all the way through, okay. But in the trail that person, you know, forged, now all of a sudden, all these people come in. Now, that particular person may not have directly seen much fruit at all, but boy, the people behind him produced it. Okay, so never, never judge yourself by what you think is the fruit that you should be producing. That is God the Father's job, not ours. He's in charge of the results. And remember, it's supernatural anyway. You know, we do have to be more patient. We really do. We sometimes try to rush everything, including other people. And we shouldn't. As a matter of fact, it is more of an expression of our faith to be able to wait. Because what are we doing? We are completely turning it over to God. Right? Completely. All right? And then we're going to wait. Hold back. I've found that to be very effective, by the way, in my witness to people, particularly people close to me. All along, I was thinking I could show up one day, give them the gospel. Ha ha, look at that. I got another one. But it could take years. Okay. And by the way, it's not because of anything I do, right? It's because God working on them like he's working on me. But we got to have the patience. And also the grace to understand that I'm a unique instrument in the hands of God. I can just relax and be who he's made me to be. I can do that. I have it in my heart that I want somebody to believe in Jesus Christ. That's the key. That's the key. And yes, you may be gifted in a certain area, but you know, part of humility is also to say, maybe it's not me. Maybe I'm not the best person to witness to my brother who thinks that I'm a piece of you-know-what and looks down on me and would never listen to me about anything. I know who you are. I remember when you were 5 years old. I remember all the sins you've created. I remember all the bad stuff. And you're trying to tell me that you got the answer? Okay, fine. I'm telling you the answer. But maybe somebody else. You got somebody else out there who he says, now this is the person that actually he will listen to. You planted the seed, but I'm bringing somebody else in. Because remember, we're a team. That's why I remember we talked a few weeks ago about evangelism, and too many people think you have to do it all by yourself. That's not the design. The design is for a team to work together on that whole area of evangelism, with the evangelist with the gift at the point, and then all of us supporting. Remember that? And then he turns around, and then he trains us so that we're more effective ourselves. But we're more effective in the place where God has placed us, not, hey, I want to be the point guy too. Well, no, but God has gifted some as evangelists, not all. I have a different gift. I may have the gift of giving. I may have the gift of mercy. Whatever it is, God can use that in the area of evangelism, remembering that it does take a team, for example. God decides the effects that each and every ministry will produce, will have. Now, we ended last time on that word, varieties. I think that's where we are anyway, right? We're in 12, verse 4. I got the slide up again. I don't know why. Maybe to remind me. So, again, let's read it. Now, there are varieties of gifts. What does that mean? Many, many different ones, all right? But the same Spirit. Variety. Notice the variety and then the unity. You see that? There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Let me ask you something. If there was the Holy Spirit and there were no gifts, okay? When you think about that, all right? And then if there were lots of gifts but no Spirit, I want you to think about that. Gifts are nothing without the Spirit. But the variety, the completion, the beauty is that there are gifts, many, many, many gifts. So you need the variety and you need the unity. You can't have one and not the other. It just doesn't work. But today we are focused on varieties. There are varieties of gifts. Varieties of gifts. By the way, we're going to take a look at the gifts, the number of gifts that are mentioned, all right, in each of these four passages. And I want to emphasize that do not think that you need to pigeonhole yourself. Because notice, there are varieties of gifts. Great varieties. There are varieties of ministries. There are varieties of effects. So, don't pigeonhole yourself. You should just be happy and realize the fact that I have a manifestation of the Spirit. I may not even know what it is yet. Maybe I will never know, and it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Because that's God's job. Now, will he reveal that to us? Yeah, he usually will, because now we can be more effective in the sense of, okay, I know what I'm supposed to be doing here, and that's good, but remember, it's a manifestation of the Spirit. He can give you anything he wants to. You may think, I'm pigeonholing myself as somebody who has the gift of helps. And you may. But you may also have a manifestation that sort of has helps in it and also has something else in it. That's up to the Holy Spirit. We don't pigeonhole him, right? We don't say, well, you mentioned 17 in these passages, so I'm limiting you to 17, right? I'm not going to do that. We're going to soak in what he's saying, and then we're going to leave the results, the gifts, the ministries up to him. Okay, but again, the point very simply here is that spiritual gifts are marked by great variety. Great variety. That's the point. Great variety. We see that here clearly in our first passage this morning, don't we? Emphasized in each verse, varieties of gifts, varieties of ministries, varieties of effects. I mean, if you're mathematical like I am, yeah, I sometimes would picture this as sort of like a tree diagram, which is kind of interesting since we're talking about oaks this morning. What do I mean by that? Well, you have 20 gifts right here. But then each one of these gifts maybe has 12 different ministries. And then in each gift in each ministry, you know, have different effects. The point is there's incredible variety here. Incredible. And all of it's up to God. The gift you have, the ministry you're in, the results. All up to God. It's grace all the way. It's miraculous all the way. So why are we putting a burden on ourselves about something we cannot possibly do ourselves? If it's miraculous in nature from start to finish, I never had any miracles in my flesh. I never did. Never will. And by miraculous, I simply mean that you can't explain it naturally. And you really can't. I mean, when somebody has his gift flowering, there's no natural explanation for that. It can't be, because it's God all the way. But you know, I want you to notice something else about our passage, okay? And I've already hinted at it, but let's look at it sort of more directly now. Now, there are varieties of gifts. We're talking about the variety, but what? The same, one Spirit. Can you see that unity, too? We already talked about that, the unity. There are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. Same means unity. Varieties of effects, same God. So, verses 4 to 6 not only emphasize variety, but they really also emphasize unity. Unity and variety. That's the secret. The secret is that for all of us to have this unique, supernatural thing, a gift, ministry, and effect, and at the same time, we're all part of one big unity. You know, that's how God has given us an amazing, amazing ability to preserve the unity. If it weren't for our variety, then there wouldn't be a need to preserve unity, right? If we were all like robots, all drones, in the old-fashioned word, not in the military word, but that's all we were, and we were marching lockstep. Well, there's unity, but there's no variety. And it kind of, in a way, it's like, well, what's the big deal about that? It's only when there's variety and there's also unity that you have the beauty. Unity and variety complement each other. Variety is what makes unity so vibrant, alive, multifaceted, interesting. At the same time, unity is what makes that variety beautiful. Beautiful. Human body, good case in point. Okay? There's great variety, is there not, in the human body? Gosh, think about it. The eyes and the nose and the mouth and the ears and the hair. And even with the hair, we have all different kind of hairstyles. And even with the hands, we've been gifted with different things. I don't really have very much gifted in the area of using a screwdriver. Okay, but I'm pretty good with using my hands to write. You may be the opposite. Okay, so variety, variety, variety in the human body. But you know, if you look at the human body another way, you see an incredible unity. Symmetry is another way of talking about that. So in some amazing way that only God the designer could actually put that together, our human body is a great illustration of variety and then unity. You know, I don't say to you, I didn't say to Calvin this morning, you know, hey, how's your nose doing? Right? I mean, no, how are you doing? One person. Okay. Variety makes unity vibrant, come alive, interesting. Unity makes that variety beautiful. They go together. And the passages on spiritual gifts in the New Testament make a point about great variety. Great variety. For instance, there are several lists. I've already referred to this. Okay, we got four passages. Each one of them has its own list of gifts. Okay, let me give those passages to you again. I know that may be hard to see. I'm sorry about that, but I don't have a great talent either in PowerPoint. I try. Can you read that? It is okay? All right, good. All right. So, on the left, those four passages that you've already seen this morning, right? Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, and so forth. On the right, it's the same for you as me, you have the number of gifts. That's what you have here. So in other words, if you go to Romans 12, 4 to 8, and you count up the number of gifts in the list, there's seven of them. If you go to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and you count up the list of gifts mentioned there, there's 13 of them. And if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, and you count up the gifts, there's four of them. And then if you go to 1 Peter 7 to 11, there's two. And oh, by the way, those two are not actually gifts, they're categories. So the one that seems to have the fewest gifts actually really has them all. It's kind of interesting, right? Peter talks about serving gifts and speaking gifts. And then we're going to see that those are the two categories of the permanent gifts that we have been provided in the church other than the first generation. Okay, there's some first generation, you know, the foundation, the roots. Okay, but once the roots are in place, then it's all about the tree growing, okay? And then there's a different set that's involved with that. And then you have the branches, and then you have the variety, okay? All right, so look at all the different gifts mentioned. Now you might say, well, okay, but maybe 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 has all of them. As a matter of fact, I never saw this before, but 7 plus 4 is 11 plus 2 is 13. Don't get distracted by that, because that is not at all what I'm trying to say. But it could have been. You could have said, wow, there's just 13. The problem with that thinking is that no two of these lists are the same. No two are the same. Now, there's the variety. There's the variety, right? No gifts are the same. We're going to go back to these gifts, these passages, and look at the lists again. It's a wonderful thing to do. We're going to see the categories of those gifts. And in so doing, we're going to marvel at the design of the Holy Spirit and God the Father and God the Son and all of this. Okay, but right now, I just want you to understand that no two lists are the same. Variety. As a matter of fact, each passage has at least one gift that none of the others have. None of the others have it. There's variety here. Now, there's more variety here. I'm setting this up today. I'm just telling you the characteristics. We're going to go back and see this. Okay? But here's another variety, which is, sometimes these passages talk about the people who have the gift. The prophets. The gift of prophet is a person. The gift of apostle was a person. The gift of pastor teacher is a person. Right? A person. The gift of evangelist is a person. So sometimes they're talking about people who have the gift. But that's variety. But other times they talk about the gifts themselves. Helps, mercy, giving. These are talked about. And they talk about in terms of the gift itself. See, there's variety there too, right? It says that, all right, in some cases, God really emphasizes who the person is that's given that gift. By the way, mostly because those tend to be the point people, all right? They're people that, so God has placed a person in with a certain gift. But then also, he's given gifts out. And by the way, in most cases, many. There's a variety again. See, pastor teacher is kind of pretty well defined. His role is pretty well defined. Same thing with evangelists. Okay, same thing with apostle. And they're the point person. Now, by the way, I don't want you to get confused. When I say the pastor teacher, okay, I am talking about something different from elders. Okay, just so you understand, pastor teacher is a spiritual gift. Elders are offices, okay? So, and actually, Paul says there should be more than one elder, okay? More than one elder. And they have their own duties, right? But that's not the same as a pastor teacher. There's even more variety in that, by the way. Deacons, as well as elders, those are offices in the church, right? And that's the structure that God has put together for the local church, okay? But then separately are the gifts. Just want to make sure that there's no misunderstanding about that. I'm not saying that there should be one elder. I'm not saying that should be one person who's just lording it over everybody else, making all the decisions and all of that. Not at all. No, a plurality of elders, a group of elders. The beauty of that, by the way, and this is something that borders on the supernatural, is that you got to have consensus about the big things in a congregation. It shouldn't be one person just dictating. And is not supposed to be. Okay? So if you're in a church where there's a dictator, leave. Okay? That's one step away from cult. Okay? If you look at the problems that we have in so many cases, because there's one man who was put on a pedestal, and he's the focus of everything. But human beings, okay, they have temptations, all right? And the more you do that to somebody, the more they believe in their own wonderfulness, and they figure that no matter what I do, it's going to be good. Maybe it's just good for me, but it's still going to be good. No, that's not the design. It's got nothing to do with spiritual gifts. But I want you to understand that. All right. So the gifts themselves, mercy, helps, giving. As we've seen already, 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6 talks about varieties, right? Varieties of gifts, which we've kind of just talked about again in terms of the variety of people and the gifts themselves. The lists that are all different varieties. But there are also varieties of ministries and varieties of effects. Now, this is 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6. I'd like you to turn now, though, to Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 6. And, of course, this is another passage, right? We saw this morning Romans chapter 12 is the second passage, I think, on the list. I think. Well, the first. Anyway, it's one of the big four when it comes to spiritual gifts. Romans 12. I'm going to start in verse 3. Okay. Now, again, we're thinking right here about variety. All right. The reason we're going to go back, by the way, and we are, is because there's so much in each of these passages that they have in common. Not the gifts themselves, but characteristics of gifts, the variety and so forth, the unity. We'll see others too. But today we're focusing on variety. Romans 12, verse 3. For through the grace given to me, this is Paul speaking, I say to everyone among you, notice, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. What is that? I'm going to bring you back a little bit to the not I's. Remember? Not I is a mindset, an attitude. Yeah, not I, but other people, right? When you're thinking about more highly of yourself, that's called arrogance. That's the opposite of humility. We need humility in order to be correct in how we see the gifts, among other things. Not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. Boy, I love that. Now, he's about to get into the spiritual gifts. And the reason I love that is because it's all about thinking. It's all about judgment. It's all about reason. It really is. It's not about like going crazy and barking like a dog and running around. I've got the spiritual gift of tongues and I'm an apostle and you have to bow down. No. Sound judgment. Thinking. All right? Now, that just doesn't apply only to spiritual gifts. It applies to our life together. Okay? You know, Paul one time said, if I'm beside myself, it's for God. If I'm of sound mind, it's for you. In other words, there's a time when we're going to be a mess, so to speak. All right, out of or it might be just in a place where, man, I am sort of beyond my ability to understand this right now. But that's between you and God. But when we come together, we are to be of sound mind for others. Doesn't that? I mean, that makes perfect sense. Do you really want to be around somebody who's just kind of out of his mind? Right? No. I mean, that's not, you're not going to learn much. Maybe it's a time for you to exercise mercy, but that's about it. No, we already have sound mind when we're together. All right? Important. Again, not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, but to think so as to have sound judgment. Oh, as God, notice this, has allotted to each one of us a measure of faith. In other words, Romans 12 speaks about different measures of each gift and other things. What is that? Well, different measures means variety. We don't have the same measure. Let me read again verse 3. For through the grace given to me, Paul writes, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. By the way, that's saying, by the way, that some have been allotted more faith than others. By the way. Now, not to believe in Christ, but to have, look, it's like in some respects, in a lot of respects, the evangelist has to have, I'll put it simply, more faith. That doesn't mean he's a better person or a better Christian or any of those things. It just means that he's going to be in situations where his faith is going to be tested and God's going to strengthen him in that area. It's all a gift, by the way. All a gift. Don't be proud of the fact that you believe in Jesus Christ and boast, hey, I'm a believer, you're not. It's all by grace, folks. It's a gift. Now, does that mean we don't have choice in the matter? We do. But that's because God has set it up that way. He could have set it up any way he wanted to. Right, but at salvation, the faith is the same for everybody. Right, it's simply hearing a message and believing it. But when we're using our gift, there's different measures, different capacity to believe, to have faith. You don't have to listen to me about that. You just have to read the passage, right? God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Verse 4, for just, notice this, as we have many members in one body. Wow, he's doing the same thing he's going to do in 1 Corinthians 12. Talk about the human body first. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, variety. Verse 5, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ. There it is again, variety and unity. We are many. We have different measures of faith, and yet we're one body in Christ, individually members of one another. Now, I just want to say a little bit more about that measure of faith. It doesn't mean that some people are gifted more to believe the Word of God. That's simply not true. Rather, it talks about when you're being placed in situations where you're exercising your gift, you need to have a lot of faith, a lot of confidence, a lot of strength, okay? But all of us have an equal opportunity to hear the Word of God and believe it. So I don't want you to get the wrong idea about that. Every one of us has the ability, been gifted with the ability, and it's really the same, all right, to hear the Word of God and believe it, whether that's for the gospel and salvation, whether it's for us every day, the life I live by faith in the Son of God. That's all of us, okay? So I don't want you to get the wrong idea here. But there's a lot of variety here. Different measures of faith, notice. And then notice this. Again, in verse 4, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function. There's that variety. So we, all right, the body of Christ, who are many, are one body in Christ. And individually, notice there is this, again, there's this unity and variety. All of us, one of us, right? We who are many are one body in Christ. Individually, what? Members of one another. So that individuality is not for its own sake, but it's for us to be plugged in and to serve one another and to be members of one another. Not just the body, right? We are members of the body, but we're also members of one another. In other words, to kind of be basic about it, okay? My neck, okay, is a member of... My neck and my head. I have one neck, I have one head, and I need both of them working together, if I put it that way. Right? You know? If my neck isn't working, I have a very limited ability to move my head. Just as an example. So we are members one of another. All right? Since we have gifts, here we go. Gifts that what? Verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ. There's that variety again. We have gifts that differ, but why? According to the grace given to us. In other words, grace shows up in different ways for different people. The gift itself, remember, grace simply means that God gives gifts freely without regard to merit. Okay, God is a giver. He's not looking at you and saying, you know what, you don't deserve this, so I'm not going to give it to you. Okay? No. He's giving without regard to whether we deserve it or not. Because here's the facts, gang. We don't. We don't deserve anything in this spiritual life. Right? All you need to think about is, who was I before I started getting graced out? Oh, I was nothing. The Bible says I was dead. Yeah. So everything comes because of the grace of God, including the spiritual gifts. And they're different according to grace. According to grace. Given to us, then each of us, every one of us, is to exercise them accordingly. What does that mean? He's going to go into this in many examples, but I'm just going to take the first one this morning. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. Notice again, okay, we have gifts that differ, okay, according to grace. We exercise our gifts accordingly. According to the grace that has been given to us. Maybe, and that, I don't want to get into grace this morning, but, you know, we've all been gifted in different ways. We've all been graced out in different ways. Okay? But then he says, each of us is to exercise them, again, accordingly. According to what? Well, first of all, according to grace. But then notice he gives an example here. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. What does that say? Once again, there's different proportions. There's variety in the one gift. All right, now he says that simply, and I don't think we should editorialize it or copy it or pretty it up or anything. We're not exactly sure what it means, the proportion of his faith. We just know that we have different proportions of it. And that's up to God. We have different measures of faith. We have different measures of grace. That's variety. So we should relax about that. Again, don't compare. Relax. It's all by grace. Okay, whatever gift you've been given, you've also been given a proportion of some kind, whether it's faith or something else, whatever you need. Look, prophecy is very simply, it means that you're speaking for God, basically, to the people. That's prophet. God has a message that he wants you to give to the people. That's what a prophet does. Well, if you look at it, we have, let's say, Malachi in the Old Testament. This is New Testament, but I'll illustrate in the Old. Malachi, you know, he gets four chapters. Right? He has a message that's a tough message. Then you have Isaiah, who gets 66 chapters and an incredible ability to have vision about kind of the whole plan of God, right? Predicted the death of Jesus Christ 700 years before it happened. That's a bigger proportion, right? Does it mean that Isaiah is better? No. Was he a better Jew because God had given him that great proportion? Absolutely not. Now, bring that into the New Testament. Okay, now Paul was more than a prophet. He was a prophet. He was an apostle, okay? So that's apostle is a blanket gift. I mean, apostle literally starts the churches, okay? And if they're starting the church, okay, first of all, they have to have the authority to do so. Second, they've got to be able to teach and speak the word of God, okay? They are an evangelist. So the apostle was kind of like a super category, not a person. This is what I'm getting to. What did Paul say about himself? He was given a most amazing prophetic gift. Again, not to tell the future, although he did some of that, but an amazing ability to speak the word of God to hundreds and thousands and probably millions ultimately. Yeah, because he's speaking to us today. So that's a big proportion. Okay, what did he say about himself? He said, listen, I'm the least of the apostles. That's what he said. I'm the least, so don't think it's anything about me. He said, I am the worst believer, the least of all saints, least of all the believers. And he meant it. Yeah, so there's that picture again. The least of all believers. He persecuted the church, then gets the greatest prophetic gift of any of the apostles. Indeed, of any church-age believer, right? Whole Roman Empire started so many churches. Because he was better? Was he a better Jew? Well, actually, that was his problem. Yeah, being a better Jew was his biggest obstacle to where God wanted him to be and do. All right? So don't make this about, well, he's better than I am. It's nothing to do with it. Different measures of each gift. Different measures of faith, different measures of grace for the purpose. This is when we get back to the purpose. Why has God gifted certain men, probably men priority because it talks about prophets and so forth, with a greater measure of faith than others? Very simple. What's the purpose of spiritual gifts? The common good, one another, right? So all we're saying is that if he's been given a greater measure of something, it is because God is using him as a channel to serve a lot of people. Okay. And he's going to have a lot of tests. I mean, if you read about the life of Paul, you're going to see, after he became a Christian, you're going to see the most horrendous kind of things. He was left for dead. He was shipwrecked. Don't you think that requires some faith? To be shipwrecked and said, oh no, God's going to take care of it. Let's be real here. Of course it does. I mean, look, I got up today and I came to church. Now, I suppose there's some faith there. Somebody's going to show up for one thing, I believe. But it's certainly not the same as being shipwrecked in the deep water for 3 days. Or being left for dead. Now, we will have times when we will be sort of like that. But Paul had them over and over and over again. He needed a greater measure of faith just to hang in there in order to do what he was going to do. Not to mention the faith he had to have. Think about it. He was a Jew. All right? He persecuted the church. He literally hated Jesus Christ. Okay? So he started completely over when he became a believer. Completely over. And so he needed a lot of faith just to really... and say, okay, yeah, I was visited by the Lord. Now I'm going to step out and I'm going to contradict everything I said. You don't think that requires faith to do that? It requires a lot of it. So he had a different measure of faith. But for one reason, for the common good, for us, for the people of his generation. Variety. There are different kinds of service. That's one of those gifts that is the gift of helps, the gift of service. We really have an infinite number, infinite variety, if I could put it that way. Maybe not infinite, but a lot. There's a lot of variety involved with that spiritual gift. You know, same thing with helps. Now, even a teaching gift, which is pretty clear what it kind of is, there's different approaches to teaching. Teachers have been gifted to different parts of the body of Christ. Variety, different styles, right? All kinds of variety in teaching, different audiences to teach to, giving. There's a lot of different expressions, the manner with which we give and who we give to and all that. Variety, different ways to encourage people. The person who has the gift of encouragement is given a supernatural ability to recognize people who need encouragement and what to say to them. And that's unique, you know. As a matter of fact, some people, the way to encourage them is to get under their skin. You know? I mean, I think of a coach. Of course I do. Because I don't know about chefs in this subject. But coaches, you know, they're there and they have to do what each player needs if they're any good. They have to be a psychologist and say, that one today, you know what? He's just about to quit. If I hammer him now, it could be it. So I'm going to build him up for a while. That one over there, so arrogant, he's walking around as if he's on clouds. Well, my way of encouraging him is to get him back to reality. Right? Exhortation is another way to put it. The way that I exhort, not I, but you if you have this gift, exhort one person is different. Again, the only point now is that there's different ways, there's different manners in which your gift is going to be expressed. Okay, now we're in Romans. Let's head back. Oh my gosh, I just looked at the time. We'll head back and we'll close. In fact, we won't even head back. This is a great place to start next week. Because this one verse, all right, one verse, 1 Corinthians 12:7, describes three amazing aspects of spiritual gift. One verse. All right, I'll just read it. But to each one, each and every individual member of the body of Christ is given, notice, the manifestation of the Spirit. We're going to talk about what that's all about, the manifestation of the Spirit. And then what? For the common good. Those are three big, big, big subjects when it comes to spiritual gifts. So we're going to end there this morning. We're going to pick that up next Sunday. All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again this morning. Thank you for giving us each a unique gift, whether it be in manifestation, whether it be in the nature of the gift, whether it be in the audience or the ministry we have or the effects that we're going to have. It's all a gift. And we thank you for that amazing gift. We thank you for one another because this is the place that you've given us to exercise our gifts. And it may go beyond the body, but it never really goes beyond the body because everything we're doing, even out there, ultimately leads back to building up and edifying the church. Thank you for this amazing family you've brought us to. Thank you, Father, for the fact that you are going to bring about things that we cannot even imagine because of your ability to do that, not ours. We thank you for all these things, and we ask you, Father, also to watch over the body and give people what they need, by the way, through one another, through other members of the body. Help us, Father, to be alert and the gift that you've given us so that we can effectively serve according to your design. We thank you for all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, by the power of the Spirit. Amen. Thursday, Bible study again. We're in Isaiah 55. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I don't know how many chapters there are in the Bible, but I love all of them. The one that I'm on is my favorite, no matter what it is. Like children, right? Yeah. But anyway. All right. So, So, by the way, we have an easy way to give us prayer requests. It's on the right on the first page of our website. Okay. I've talked about this many times. By the way, prayer. If you want to talk about faith, prayer is a great way to exercise faith. Why? Because you're taking something that is really problematic for you, and then you're coming, first of all, to the group, but then you're actually giving it to God himself. That's faith, baby. All right? Not only that, but the gathering together itself and praying for one another is powerful. All right? It really is. It makes a big difference. God thinks it does. So I just encourage you to give prayer requests. We do take a look at those every Thursday before we have prayer, and more than that, but before we have prayer meetings. So we will pray for those things, for those people, those needs, whatever it might be. All right, one other thing, giving. Like everything else, it's a matter of grace in the body of Christ. It's a matter of grace. For some people, they have that gift, okay? So don't expect that you are going to have the same proportion of grace in that area as somebody who has a supernatural gift. But we're all called to do what we can for one another, for the good of the body, for the gospel, all right? And again, we have this great variety in that. But make sure it's motivated correctly, okay? According to you, freely want to give. Freely, in a sense, imitate the grace of God by being gracious in how you give. All right. All right, let's close. Father, we thank you again this morning. We ask you now, Father, to wake us up. Help us to take seriously this subject, not so that we feel guilty or overwhelmed, but that we put ourselves in a place to really observe you at work through us, which is an amazing thing. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Spirit. Amen. All right, you are dismissed. Finally. Some cooler weather. Yeah, finally.